Experience Reports 1960-1961. From Past Life, reported from the other side, recounted spiritual experiences, when they just entered the afterlife. Here, then Google translated from German to English. Remark, this has been found in German language online, and translated here via Google into English, for personal use, and mistakes can certainly be found here, both in the translations, and in Google's perception, interpretation of the language otherwise. At some point in time, these messages will surely be translated and approved by the group, glz.org. Foreword. The more than 2,000 lectures that were given by the deep trance medium Beatrice Brunner, 1910-1983, through medial means also include 91 experience reports from ascending spirit beings. These are stories from deceased people who report on their earthly life and their first experiences in the world beyond. These accounts are very personal. The reporters show in many different ways what effects their human thoughts and actions had and how individually they were judged and treated after their death. The accounts give a vivid insight into various levels of the world beyond and into the laws of cause and effect. They show how justice is done to everyone who returns home and how much God's spirit world strives to support everyone in their spiritual development. The reports date from 1958 to 1970. This book is the second volume in the series Reports and contains the 18 lectures from 1960 and 1961. The new edition of the reports, published chronologically for the first time in book form, stays as close as possible to the original text or the original wording. Editorial changes were generally only made where they were necessary when translating the spoken language into written form. The characteristic expression of the spirit beings who make themselves known here has been left as far as possible in its original form so that the reader can empathize with their individual nature. G. L. Ulrich. Introduction. The reports of the experiences of ascending spirit beings are part of the comprehensive teachings on Christian spiritual teachings that were given to us humans over the course of 35 years by the deep trance medium Beatrice Brunner. As the otherworldly teachers and leaders of the community explained, spirit beings were selected from various levels who are part of God's order. They were commissioned to report on their personal experiences under supervision. Before each of the lectures, a controlling spirit spoke first, who was responsible for the spiritual supervision of the event. In individual speeches, he gave more detailed explanations of the reports of experiences. We select these spirits in each case. You should not assume that they are simply admitted as they are. We consult them in detail beforehand. We discuss with each other what they are allowed to tell you. Because the whole thing has to fit into our structure of the spiritual teaching. The listeners were informed that the descriptions of experiences are not for entertainment, they are rather important teachings about spiritual laws that prevail between life on earth and the afterlife. We are concerned to always select and bring here those brothers and sisters who, through their descriptions, also give you explanations, that is, the reports are linked to teachings. We always want to combine what is presented here with teachings and thus enrich people's knowledge in this regard. So it is not just about listening to how these ascending beings entered the world beyond, how they came to us, how difficult it was for them or that the gates were closed to one of them and immediately, but we also want to bring you something instructive in a broader sense. But you should not assume that what these beings tell you is always of a profound nature. Rather, you must be shown and explained what generally happens when a person dies and enters the world beyond. You must be explained what happens so frequently. This should give you an answer to various questions that you have. You should also realize that what is explained to you cannot be generalized, but that in one case or another a different judgment will be made. The controlling spirit explained before the lecture on February 3, 1960 that these ascending beings had usually been in the world beyond for a long time. They were tasked with reporting on their early days. We enable them to experience them again in the same way as they did back then. We must help them to do this. But we must also ensure that there are no outbursts, because if a spirit can go back in time, this could easily happen. These beings often report in a somewhat humorous way. It all depends on what was in their innermost being, whether they were malicious or good-natured or indifferent. We would like these characteristics to be expressed so that you can see that someone who has returned to the afterlife still behaves in the same way as he did when he was on Earth, that is, that the feelings and views are still the same and you then let yourself be taught better, that your feelings become more refined and that you are no longer able to act in the same way later on. Therefore we give the spirit concerned the opportunity to behave and behave as it did in the beginning. I must also point out that what is reported is always a summary of a long period of time. We discuss everything with the spirit concerned beforehand and indicate to him how he should tell you. This gives you an idea of it. Of course, these spirits who tell you about their experiences are purified and would no longer talk today as they did at the beginning when they came to the world beyond. They also have a completely different view now. But you can hear that for yourself. After the descriptions of the experiences, the listeners had the opportunity to ask questions to their trusted spirit teacher Joseph after a trance change. The book contains the questions that relate directly to the respective experience report. First case, January 6, 1960, Jan, experiences in the afterlife of a traveling musician. About the arduous path to abandoning lying and sticking to the truth in all things. Controlling Spirit, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, this hour a spirit is speaking to you again, speaking for the first time in this way through a human being. This is meant to be instruction for you, not entertainment, even if it is given in an entertaining tone. You should observe things carefully and remember everything that is said. You can learn from it, because this is the reason why these spirits are admitted. You should hear from them how they lived, how they behaved in the first times when they came to the afterlife. All of this should be of great importance to you. You should not ask the spirit in question any questions. Afterwards, Brother Joseph will speak to you. He will also say a few words to you about the beginning of the new year, and then you will still have the opportunity to ask him questions. May God bless you all. God bless you. Jan, dear brothers and sisters. God bless you. I was told beforehand that I must greet you in this way. I will try to tell you as best as I can about the impressions I had in the very first days when I came to the afterlife. I will also try to convey how I was then, which was also done through gestures. Many years have passed since then. I have been taught better, and my character and way of expressing myself are no longer the same as they were back then. But I have the opportunity to behave and behave again as I did then. There are observers or guardians at my sides, and I know exactly how much and what I can say to you. I can't behave as I used to, but I have to convey everything very impressively, so that you can learn something from it. That's what I try to do. I lived in this world and made life as beautiful as possible for myself. I tried to put the worries on the other side, my wife. In short, I loved singing, music, dancing, my violin. I traveled from one village to another with my violin, and life was beautiful with it. I sang while I played the violin, and it was wonderful. I had a family. My wife was called Celie, the eldest daughter Jolo, then I had Mart, an Anne, and of course a Maria had to be the two, and only one son. His name was the same as mine, January. Xili looked after the family. She had a small flock of sheep that she could live off of, and the children had to earn money from an early age. I went from village to village and sang. Well, I don't want to say anything special about the rest of my life, it wasn't that special anyway. The way I lived is now expressed in the following. I had to leave this world like everyone else. I hadn't prayed all that much in my life, because I thought to myself, my family prays enough for January. My relatives knew that Jan needed prayer and I had appealed to their prayers. Now I am in the other world, I have crossed over into the other world. At first I felt a little strange here. When I opened my eyes, I found myself on a so-called mountain range. There was no beginning and no end to be seen. A huge crowd was hiking here. I couldn't remember ever having seen so many people hiking. As soon as I opened my eyes and looked around, I heard, Jan, forward. Jan, forward. Jan, forward. Well, forward, I said, I'll do it as I please, and anyway, where's my violin? No violin. Jan, forward. Jan, forward. Then it slowly dawned on me, I remembered that I had been ill for a long time and they told me, you are no longer on earth, now you are in heaven, if you like. In heaven? I imagined it differently. Forward, Jan. They always said, well, how does everyone know that my name is Jan? Wherever I looked, in front, behind, there was a lot, a lot, a lot. You always had to go forward, forward, you couldn't fall over. Why did you go forward? I didn't know. The others went forward, so I went forward too, hoping to find a destination, just as a human being goes somewhere and thinks that you will find something pleasant. The path on this mountain or on this mountain range was, according to my calculations, approximately twice as wide as this space here, that is about 11 meters, but infinitely long. There was a slope on both sides. Both slopes were full of people who climbed up to us. But they found no room up here, because everything was overcrowded here too. We called out to them that it was pointless to go up, everything was taken, they should just go back down. They tried anyway, because they believed that it would be better up there. They wanted to go up, up this steep slope. Here and there one managed to get a foothold at the top, but I saw how some of us were not particularly gentle with the new neighbor and simply pushed him back down the slope. And often the words spoken were not gentle. Yes, there was a lot of moaning too. Then I thought to myself, I am in this other world now. Do I have to keep marching into infinity? Is it always just forward, forward? Then I saw an old woman. She came to my side and complained to me. She wanted to lean on me, I should carry her with me. She said her feet hurt, she had been walking for so long, I should help her, I could help her if she could just lean on me a little. Then I said, very well, show me your feet. I was a doctor in human life, I can tell you what you have to do. Yes, I said I was a doctor. Then she replied, oh, I'm glad, then you can at least tell me what to do. But where can we sit down? We always get bumped into things. And I answered her, you don't need to sit down, I'll just touch your feet. I have such strength in me, and you'll get well. You know, I was a really good doctor. Then suddenly I heard a voice, Jan, you're lying. I looked around and wondered, who is calling to me? I saw no one, everyone kept pushing forward, and no one looked at me. Jan, you're lying. Well, I unhooked the old woman and told her to look for someone else, she would probably feel better now. And she left. Then, as we were walking and talking to each other, we weren't walking in silence, but we had a lot to talk about. Another woman came up to me and said, you know, I simply can't understand why I'm not feeling better, that I'm now going to wander into infinity. I've prayed so much in my life and I've done so much good. I imagined heaven to be different. Then I said to her, oh, you don't have to be sad about that, I'm not feeling better. I've prayed all my life too. Yes, I was a priest, and now you can understand how unpleasant it is for me that I now have to wander. What have I done to have to wander like this? Yes, she complained, I expected something better. And I said to her, you see, I was a priest, and I'm not doing any better. Then I heard the same voice again, calling to me, Jan, you're lying. Jan, you're lying. What? I looked around to see if anyone else had heard this. But then I thought to myself, oh, what is that now? I can say that I was a priest. If these words might help this soul, then it's okay. Then she too left again. I thought that she didn't really trust me. I don't know whether she heard the voice that called, Jan, you're lying. I spoke to someone else again. He said to me, yes, it is a pity that one is so poor here, when in life one was so rich and had so many beautiful things, houses and land. And now one has to live so poorly, it is a terrible thing. And I said to him, oh, Shut up, I am no better off. Yes, I explained to him that I had been rich too and that he could console himself with me. Yes, who were you then? He asked, and I answered him, who cares about the name? It doesn't matter here. My name is Jan, but who cares? What does it mean to me who you were, who you are? Just look at this multitude, this infinite multitude. We are not interested in what they are all called. Forward, they always say, forward, forward. Where are we going, forward? Yes, he complained, I had so many houses, so much land, and here I have nothing. And I said, you know, I had the most wonderful horses, and here I have nothing either. If I had only one horse of the many I had, how easy it would be for me. I could ride along, I would have it comfortable. No, you see, I too must wander here as a poor soul, just like you. Take comfort in me. He answered, that is no comfort to me, whoever you were. I am poor here. And he went away again, and another came to me, and they talked together. I would like to mention that when I said, yes, I was a rich man too, the voice came again and called out to me, Jan, you're lying. But, alas, I didn't care anymore. I had to go on a journey, just like the others. So I went back to talking about something else. Then someone came up to me again, asked me my name and said, you know, I had beautiful paintings in my life, I could paint so wonderfully. My paintings were admired. If only I had brushes and paint here, I would paint this misery that I see here too. And I replied, shut up, you were a painter? I was also a great artist. My paintings are in Paris, in London, in America, wherever you want, and you see, I'm no better off. Oh, it doesn't matter. I would also like to paint if I could, but I am like you, wandering, wandering, nothing but wandering. How long? We don't know. And as soon as I had said that I was a great artist, I heard it again, Jan, you're lying. Jan, you're lying. Yes, so we went our separate ways and the conversations continued. Then someone came to me again and said, one could sing, instead of wandering in the mood that we have here, if one could sing, it would be easier. Sing? Oh yes, I would like to sing too. I can sing well, I said. And I would like to have a violin, I would like to play with it. Yes, I had a valuable violin, a masterpiece that you could play. And the other answered me, then you must have been a rich and noble man if you had a master violin. Of course I was, and I heard the voice again, Jan, you're lying. Then I said, no, this time I'm not lying, I had a violin. I inherited it from my grandfather, it was my violin. Then the voice said, I didn't know where from, it was very close to me, but I didn't pay any more attention to it, Jan, you're lying. The violin you're talking about, you stole. Stolen? I didn't steal the violin, I said to the voice, and it replied, yes, Jan, it was stolen. For me it wasn't stolen. Then the voice said, you had a very inferior violin from your grandfather, that's true. But then you borrowed this master violin you're talking about for a special occasion. You promised to return it, and you gave your violin as collateral. You gave your word that you would bring it back, and that good soul gave you that beautiful violin, but it wasn't a master violin either. Then I said, yes, I just made a swap, it's not stolen. And the voice replied, yes, it is stolen. Well, I had had a violin, so I didn't care. I had to move forward. Forward, they always said. So we talked, always talked, and there was no shortage of conversations. I can't say exactly how long this walking lasted. But I remember one thing, there were no so-called breaks. You couldn't stand still, you just had to keep walking, walking. Then suddenly they said, stop. We looked ahead, and now we were no longer standing on a mountain that was so narrow. But a valley widened in front of us. Now we were divided up and they said, some to the right, others to the front, others to the left, others even further to the side. So we were aligned according to the different spheres. And now we saw those who were speaking to us, or at least I saw them, but I assume the others saw them too. They were dressed very elegantly. I then had to walk sideways with a group. The valley that had opened up before us was very large. Here we came across houses, huge ones and small, beautiful houses. The surroundings were very beautiful, in my opinion, and I thought to myself how nice it would be to live in such a small house. I immediately chose one and headed towards it and wanted to go in. Then one of these noblemen came, took me by the hand and said, "No, Jan, that is not your house, you are wrong, your house is there," and he showed it to me. It was a big, big house. I had to go in there, and I saw the crowd running in. There I stood and had to say to myself, "Jan, there is no joy, nothing in this beautiful house." Well, I went with the others into this big, white house, and there we were distributed. I came with others into a big hall, and there were many, very many such noblemen. They showed each of us to our place, and there we were to wait and listen to the further instructions. I did that. Now they were more concerned with us. And I now recognized the voice that had always said to me, "Jan, you are lying." It was standing very close to me, and it was a very noble figure. But I was not at all afraid of it. We were then told that everyone now had a task to fulfill. In this task we had to prove whether we were capable of doing something better, whether our attitude had changed or whether we still had the same attitude as when we entered the afterlife. Then one of them, I considered him the leader of this house, greeted us all in a very special way. He did so very lovingly. He explained that we should be obedient and remember everything that we were told, that we should be concerned and do everything as well or as accurately as possible. "Yes," I thought to myself, "I'll just try it." Then this nobleman who was standing next to me started talking to me and said, "Jan, you have lied a lot in your life and you have lied here too. You don't take the truth seriously. Just as you lied as a human being, the lie is still in your soul." "Yes, I didn't think there was anything special about it. I didn't think that lying was as bad as this nobleman was telling me." He explained to me, "First and foremost, you have to learn to deal with the truth. You shouldn't lie. You've often stolen in your life. You don't have the opportunity to do that here anymore, but you can lie just as much here as you can as a human being on earth. And our job is to free you from this lying. It won't be easy to put the truth into your soul." I thought, "Yes, I want to try. If you're already in heaven, I'll resolve not to lie anymore." But I couldn't promise whether I'd succeed overnight. And this nobleman said that he didn't expect me to suddenly become virtuous because that wouldn't be possible anyway. It would only happen very slowly. He only asked me to gradually stop lying. I then promised him to stop lying as much as possible. Then I asked him, "Couldn't you do me a favor? Then I would be very careful not to lie anymore." And the nobleman replied, "Yes. What is your wish?" "A violin," I said. "I would like a violin." He replied, "A violin? Yes, in time I will get you one, when you stop lying. So you should now think about sticking to the truth, then you will get a violin." I asked whether it would be possible to get a good violin. And the nobleman replied that yes, I would definitely get a good violin. The violin would then depend on how I behaved. Then I said to him, "You know, I still see myself as a human being. The way I looked. I had such a colorful belt around my waist. Jolo and Xili had embroidered it." "You're lying, Jan. You've never worn an embroidered belt. The belt you had was made of coarse material and stolen." "Yes, I really believed that I had such a beautiful belt." But the nobleman said, "You see, you've barely promised me that you'll stick to the truth and you're lying again." "Yes, I simply didn't think that was a lie. I simply couldn't understand that you shouldn't say something like that." But the nobleman explained to me, "No, you don't say that, you stick to the truth. You have to explain things exactly as they are. You can't make anything up or embellish them. What lies have you made up on this journey?" "I have not harmed anyone with this," I said. "I wanted to help the others. I wanted to make them happy." "Yes, that is not how it works in the kingdom of heaven. There they stick to the truth. The truth must be planted in your soul. Good. I will try to stick to the truth. How must I do that? And he answered, Come, now you have free rein. Up until now you were bound with these many other souls and you could not take the path to the earthly kingdom, you could not go among people, you were only in the soul world. But now you can go to the people, and we will see what you do with them. You can choose a person who has a violin and you can play with him. Yes, that is what I wanted to do, that was the first thing I was lacking. I looked for a person with a violin. It was not difficult for me to find one. I went very close to him, more and more, and I took complete possession of him. I held the bow of his violin, I played the violin with him. It was wonderful. And how disappointed I was when he put the violin down and went home. I tried to take the violin with him. It did not come with me, I did not have a violin. Then this nobleman came to me again and said, Now you have had your first pleasure, you could play the violin. But you must not believe that your soul would be filled with truth if you only looked for people who played the violin. Now look for other people, look for pious people, and accompany them in life. Admire their noble deeds and take part in them. I wanted to do it. I looked for people who I believed were noble. I accompanied one of them into the fields, I tried to do some work with him. Then I got tired and went to the cities. There I looked for other people. I wanted to talk to them and I thought that in conversation I would definitely find someone who was capable of doing good deeds. So I followed one person, he also went to a bar where people were singing and dancing. I mingled with the crowd and sang and danced. Then these people went away again, they left me, and I too had to go back again. I was drawn back to that big house in the world beyond like a magnet. There the nobleman stood in front of me and asked, Jan. What have you done? Have you supported a person in his good deed? Of course I have. I have found many people and I have supported them in their good deeds. What have you done, Jan? Yes, I have danced and sung with them. Those are not good deeds, January. You are not being truthful. Don't you know what good deeds are? Yes, no, I actually didn't know exactly. Now this nobleman set out to accompany me. He led me to a person who had a good soul. This person visited a poor man and gave him some of his money. He brought him clothes and he promised to pay for his upkeep. That is a good deed, said the nobleman to me. What? I answered, I am not giving him anything. I simply couldn't understand it. If I could dance and sing with people, then I got something out of it. But I got nothing out of being next to a person and just seeing how he graciously gave something to someone else. I could admire him, but what could I do myself? The nobleman explained it to me, you shouldn't stand by and do nothing, you must support him in his good thoughts. You must strengthen this thought for him, you must get into him and say to him, do it. Give him that, you must become one with him in giving, in higher thinking. That was difficult for me. Then this nobleman went to sick, suffering people, and I simply had to go with him. People came, nurses came to these poor people and helped them. Then the nobleman simply pushed me over and said, There, try it, now you have to get into this person. Give this person, who has to help the sick, the strength you have at your disposal. Put a kind word in his mouth. Try it once. Yes, I tried, it was difficult. The nobleman told me exactly what I had to say, be brave. God will help you, you are not alone. Raise your head, pray, you will get well. So I said it, and I thought I had accomplished a great deed. Then the nobleman pushed me from one person to another. I was also pushed towards someone who was in need, who was hungry, who was tired of life. The nobleman told me what I had to do, you have so much strength in you. And you are in good spirits. Give him some of your good spirits, cheer him up, strengthen him so that he can find faith in life again. Comfort him, tell him, don't hurt yourself, come with me, lead him away. So I did everything that this nobleman told me to do, but I did it without any real conviction and without any strength. But over time, as he led me from one person to another, I learned it, I began to enjoy it and it made me happy. So I was able to gradually give up my lying ways.